Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Yes, I do. All right. Now we're married, because you said I do. We're married in a weird kind of way. So thank you so much for being here on the edge, the place where the conversation is pointed. The guests are sharp and the responses are never dull. Brains, look at who's here, all the way from Australia. It is Melissa DeVoe. I love
Thank
that.
You.
It's just kind of rolls off your tongue. Well, it doesn't really roll off. You got to take your time. Melissa DeVoe. But she is here to talk about a very tender and delicate subject and also the release of another one of her anthologies, a great book. We're going to talk about a subject that a lot of women don't want to talk about and men can't face a lot of times, and that is miscarriage or stillbirths. You know, I don't know what that feels like, so I'm going to be speaking from a place of ignorance, but Melissa is going to be opening up her personal thoughts and her personal experiences to help heal other individuals, other women that are going through this, to let them know that they're not alone and there's nothing wrong with you. Everything happens for a reason. We don't understand what that reason is, but again, she's created a journal to help us document this process and to love our way through it with support of other women. So let's welcome her to the edge. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, April. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to be here today.
Look at that beautiful smile, that beautiful smile. So how's the weather there in Australia today?
It's pretty good actually today. Yeah. Not too bad. Yeah.
Now, what part of Australia are you in?
So I'm in a suburb called Campbelltown in Sydney.
So. Oh, okay. So Sydney, so you know, is a lot like San Diego.
Oh, is it? No,
it is. Yeah, I mean, the weather, the metropolitan city is happening. You know, I get it. Yeah, I've been to Sydney. I went a trip with Ellen DeGeneres. And so I came to Sydney and it was a lot of fun. Girl, I love that Paddy Market.
Yeah, well, I think they've just reopened. So, because we've been locked down for a little while.
They have, if you go, let me know. I got a laundry list of stuff I could use. They just have the greatest stuff. But it's odd because everything is manufactured in China and shipped to Australia. Okay. I mean, you know, China makes everything.
That's right.
You make love and you make messages. Tell me a little bit about your journals. We're going to start there and then we'll work our way backwards. So tell me a little bit about your journals and how you got involved in writing all these great anthologies.
So it started with my actual memoir. So I just, when I had my stillborn baby, I wanted to grieve. So I decided that I would just document everything, and it was my way of healing. So after my children were born, so I've got two boys, after they were born, I decided that I would write a memoir with actually the encouragement of my husband. He actually prompted me to write it. So I wrote this memoir, and once it was published, I thought that maybe it would help other people. And then, you know, maybe a year or so later, I kind of decided that maybe other people would benefit from writing their own stories about pregnancy. So the first one isn't just about pregnancy loss, but it's about pregnancy struggles. So things like people who have gone through IVF, premature births, also obviously miscarriage and stillbirth as well. And then the anthology part of it was actually only decided, my Letters of Love anthologies, but was only really decided last year. And because I just wanted to bring some positivity in the world because of the, you know, COVID lockdowns and people that are going through some, you know, difficult times during the year. And so that's sort of what brought the anthologies, the Letters of Love collaborations. And I just think that, you know, sharing the love with, you know, their families and friends and themselves, like people, you know, have written about themselves, you know, just bring some hope and positivity in absolutely the world.
So let's dial back a little bit. Let's talk about, you know, you growing up, getting married, saying, wow, I want to have a kid. Did you have challenges originally trying to get pregnant?
So I was married at 24. We decided to try to have children at when I was about 27. And that was the first time I experienced my first pregnancy loss. We didn't have any problems, you know, trying to get pregnant. But yeah, I experienced my first pregnancy loss in 2007. The second pregnancy was when I had my stillborn baby, and that was in 2008.
I'm sorry to interject, but I just kind of want to ask a question. Was that baby almost to term?
28 weeks gestation. Yeah. So, yeah, past halfway. And so we knew from about 18 weeks of that pregnancy that I was going to have challenges. Because the baby wasn't growing at all, and I was going through, you know, multiple tests. I can't even remember how many, just to, you know, ultrasounds and you name it. I went through everything just to figure out what was going on with this baby. And the week before she passed away, I was told by the doctor that she wouldn't survive. You know, we asked to get her out early. I asked for a cesarean, but the doctor just said she won't survive even if she's out. And she passed away a week later, 28 weeks. It was just really, it was so emotional.
You know what? I can still see it. I'm there with you. I can still feel the emotion because, you know, you're carrying life. You know, you got a responsibility, and then you had already had one miscarriage.
That's right.
And I'm going to ask you some tender questions. If they're too emotional, you don't have to answer. My brains are going to want to know, you know, and then after you had your stillborn daughter, then you had another miscarriage, the third child. In your mind, are you wrestling with your belief system and saying, you know, what is wrong with me as a woman? Why can't I do with, you know, what I perceive every other woman on the planet is able to do is give birth? Did you question yourself?
Yes. Yep, I did. I even asked the doctor, why is it happening to me? And the doctor said, you know, these things just happen for no reason at all. And
One in four women miscarry.
That's right.
And, you know, did this cause a rift with you and your husband? Because I don't know me, when I get super emotional, I get angry. I do, you know, and I'm like, don't touch me, you know, don't, you know, what, because you don't know how to manage these emotions and you don't feel there's anybody that you can talk to that understands.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, he was grieving too, but obviously because he wasn't going through the same exact thing I was going through, it was hard for him to really, I guess, understand.
Yeah, because they don't have a uterus, girl, please.
Yeah.
Well, they will never understand.
No,
No, and they can feel. That's not taking away from their feeling. That's not taking away from their wanting and their longing and their support, but they will never truly understand what that feels like. To feel that little fluttering, to know that you are, you know, that there's breath, that there's life, that there's someone that's feeding off of you. I've got to be extra careful. And then when you come into the world, I'm going to have to take care of you. It's a whole thing. So when you had your fourth pregnancy, was that a normal pregnancy with regards, or did you have assistance with IVF?
Yeah, no, that was a normal pregnancy too. The only difference was there is that my doctor said that I will need to be induced and I will need to be on medication during the whole pregnancy. So it was called Clexane. So I was injecting myself daily with this medication, I guess you call it. And it was to help the blood flow, because when I had my stillborn baby, we did an autopsy and they found blood clots in the brain. So it was possible that, you know, she wasn't getting enough nutrients, and she wasn't, like, the blood wasn't flowing for her as well. So
was this some sort of blood thinner or something that you were injecting?
Yes. Mm. Yeah, it was a blood thinner, basically.
Yeah. And so, you know what? People don't realize what that does to you. You want to deliver this baby, and I say this, and I'll speak to it. Like I said, you know, I give it to people straight with no chaser. You know, but you're sacrificing to give a life. You don't know what that's going to do to you. Mm-hmm. You don't know how that's going to change your DNA, your genetics. You don't know what that's going to do to the child, if you're going to bring a child in the world that has special needs or mental challenges or born with a birth defect. You just don't know. I bet you had a lot of conversations with God, huh?
Oh, yes, many.
Did you curse him?
No, I didn't.
Oh, good, good.
That was angry.
Yeah, you get angry, but you know, you stop at that certain point. You say, I don't think I'm gonna go there. But you know, but he blessed you. And I say that to, I always tell people, to whom much is given, much is required, baby. You know, you are here to tell the tale. You are here to document it. You have still been blessed with a wonderful husband that stood by your side. And you have two children. When you had your fourth pregnancy, and the doctor told you were pregnant, what was your reaction?
I was excited, but really nervous. Really nervous. At the same time, like, my doctor said, you know, we'll wait a little while before we. I think proceed with any medication, because he didn't want to, I don't know, make promises to me that it's going to be successful. But once we got to the 6-week mark, he said, yeah, we can start the medication. And then the whole pregnancy was fine. Like, my baby was growing normal, like everything was normal. But when we got to the end of the pregnancy, he wanted me to basically deliver, because he did mention that I needed to be induced. And so basically what happened was I was in the doctor surgery, and he just said to me, do you want to have your baby tomorrow?
Wow.
I went home. I was packed and ready to go, but I didn't expect it that quickly. So I had my baby the next day, but unfortunately, it went through I had to give birth, like, it was an emergency cesarean. Mm. So I was, like, in labor, like a normal labor, but his heart kept dropping. And so I just had to have emergency cesarean. So I was sort of a little bit disappointed, because, you know, I didn't have that chance to give birth naturally.
Girl, going through the birth canal is overrated, you know. and I say that with love. My pregnancy was amazing from beginning to end, but I only did it one time. That's all I needed, okay? I said, and my grandmother had did it like 9 times. I was like, who does this 9 times, you know? But it was wonderful. It was wonderful. But again, I was exhausted, and I looked over and I told my husband, I said, you know what? Take inventory. Does she have everything she's supposed to have? He goes, yeah. I said, okay, well, hug her and kiss her. Tell her I'll see her tomorrow. And then when I saw her the next day, they brought her in for me to feed her. You know, being young, I was what, 20, 24, 25. I was like, oh, you guys don't do that? They go, you need to nurse your baby. I was like, oh, they said, ma'am, this is a hospital. It's not a hotel.
Yeah. And it's not easy either.
And it's not easy. And she didn't latch on. She didn't. So I gave her.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I didn't feel guilty. I knew that I was going to take care of her. I was going to love her. I was going to nurture her. So, you know, people put all of these, they put their spin on it. We call it extra. They have their own comments. Oh, you know, Melissa, oh, we feel so sorry for you, and you may never be able to, and yada, yada. And this is what happened to me, and this is my experience, you know, and it's hard not to envelop that. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to hear it. It's hard not to let it resonate in your heart. But also, I commend you for even attempting intimacy again, because so many women shut down and say, I want no part of that thing. Mm. You know?
You know? Yeah, it's not easy.
No, it's not. And you still love your spouse, and they still have a need. They still have a desire. So it's hard on a marriage in so many different ways, but you were able to do that. Then you turned around and got pregnant a fifth time. What was that like?
Yeah, I was really nervous again, but that pregnancy ended in a miscarriage as well. Mm. I was about, I think, 8 weeks at the time. And it was around the end of September. It actually fell a year before my second son, my sixth son was born. Yeah. So yeah, that pregnancy, I mean, I don't think it was as hard as the other ones, because I already had my first son. And you know, I had to look after my son. Like, it wasn't something that I could really grieve over. And I didn't have the time, honestly. It was difficult, but I didn't want to grieve.
Well, you didn't want, okay, well, you know, and this is just me again talking. You can't help but grieve. It's a part, you didn't grieve in the same way. And grief, there's no cookie cutter for grief. There's no process. You don't go through one through this, you know, because I still see it in your eyes. I still see that you're grieving for them. I still hear it in your voice. You know, this is a part of you.
Yeah.
And it will always be a part of you. So you got pregnant a seventh time.
Six. Yeah.
You got six. Okay. So you're, the sixth one was your, you have two boys now, right?
Two boys. Yeah.
Okay. And so the sixth one, was that a regular, you know, normal birth through the birth canal, or did you have to do cesarean?
No, I had to do a cesarean. So he was born actually the year exactly to the day, a year after my fifth pregnancy, so the one that I lost. So that was kind of a blessing. But again, I had to do the Clexane, so inject myself daily. And I also, it was induced again. No, I wasn't induced, sorry, I had to have a cesarean. So it was a planned cesarean. Basically, when I was at the doctor's surgery, same thing happened. Do you want to have your baby this week? And I'm like, okay, well, I'm ready for Friday. So Friday that week.
In Hollywood here, you know, they asked the Hollywood stars, you know, when would you like to have your baby? So that they can do the tummy tuck and everything all at once. It becomes mechanical. Let me ask you another very delicate question. How does that impact you as a parent? How does that make you feel emotionally as a parent?
Oh, I mean, still to this day, I still think about my pregnancies, especially my daughter, you know, what she would be like or what they all will be like. Would they look like my sons? Would they be playing together? You know, would they fight? Would they love each other? All those different things. But, I mean, they're just thoughts. I can't go back. I can't change the way.
But I mean, like parenting style, you know, are you the helicopter mom? Are you overly protective over your children because of what you've experienced, the trauma that you have been through? Are you more of a free spirit and saying that, you know, these are some of the challenges and I have to deal with the deck, you know, of cards that I was dealt with? Do you feel that it is a challenge or fear? I mean, are you still of childbearing? You're still of childbearing years. You're still very young. Would you go for this rodeo one more time?
No. I'm 41. No, there's no way I would go through it again.
Well, Janet Jackson had a baby at 50, girl. They, you know, science and research, they doing a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't do it again. But to go back to your question, I think I'm a bit of both, to be honest. I'm not overbearing. How can I say it? I do have that fear that something that could happen to my children. But I'm at the same time, I try to explain to them, you know, what, you know, there is dangers in life. You know, we encourage our kids to do the best that they can. So, like, they're really doing well in school and they have outdoor or, you know, outside of school activities that they do as well. And, you know, we encourage them a lot to do things. But, you know, when it comes to safety and things like that, I do have to admit I get worried.
Well, of course, because life is a worry. And it doesn't have to happen to our kids. It could happen to us.
Oh, yes.
And we've got this invisible devil, COVID-19, mm-hmm. That has impacted the entire world.
Yes.
During all of this time, you've written a book, you've a mother, you've reflected, you've mentored other women. What has this time in isolation taught you about you, Melissa?
I think that I know I can do what I plan to do. So at the moment, I'm helping people write or publish their books. And because I went through, you know, the process of doing that, I just believe that, you know, anybody or everybody, if they've got a story to tell, that they should tell it. And, you know, I've become more aware of my capabilities, of what I can and can't do, and you know, if I can't do something, then, you know, I need to seek help. And I just think, yeah, I'm more aware. And we've just basically got out of lockdown, so my kids were home for the last 20 weeks, and, you know, we've kind of become, you know, quite close as a family as well. So I think lockdown has changed us a little bit as well.
It has to. It's the perfect pause.
Yeah.
Stop the entire world. The entire world. Not just yours, not just mine, but everybody had to stop and reflect. And still to this day, it's not going away. You know, it's like the common cold. What, you know, how sick are you going to get? So you go through this, you establish new boundaries, you find a new awakening, find your pretty smile once again. How are you encouraging other women that might be going through this process and letting them know that there's someone to support you and it's going to be okay? Whether you're able to carry a baby full term, whether you're able to get pregnant, but to know that you are enough and you are okay. What are you saying to them?
Well, I actually write a letter. Write a letter to mothers that have experienced this in my last book. Basically, that you know, mothers that are trying to have babies and can't, but just to know that they are like strong, they are brave, and you know, even if they can't have a baby, just know that they. You know, they are who they are, and you know, to be grateful to, you know, I don't know, it's hard. It's really hard, but I, you know, I try to be really comforting to people, and you know, and I write in my letter that you know, they are strong, they can do, you know, a lot of things to heal as well, to help them heal, you know, like meditation and you know, trying to find their way, trying to help themselves in different types of healing. So
do you have the letter there in one of your books?
Yes, I do.
Will you share some of it with us?
Okay.
Because there's a woman out there that's listening to this right now, mm-hmm. that wants to hear it. That wants to know that she is enough and that she's okay. And because you are not able to give birth, that doesn't define you or outline you as a human being. That doesn't make you less than, but it makes you equal to society because we all have shortcomings. So I'm looking forward to hearing what you wrote to these mothers.
Okay, I'll just read like a couple of paragraphs. Okay, so you are a warrior, stronger than you can imagine, and I write this letter to you because there is hope for you. I'm grateful that I can share with you what I've learned through my experience, and I hope it inspires you to live happily through seeking the guidance you need. I'm so sorry for your loss and the heartache you're going through right now. I know pregnancy changed you. Your unborn, beautiful, sleeping baby separated your will to keep going. It hurts. I know you cry for your baby. I know you wish they were here with you. With every day that goes by, you wish a little more. I know, Mama, because I've lived it too.
That's so beautiful. See, there's hope. I had another one of my guests that had 9 miscarriages.
Oh, wow.
I know, 9. And girl, let me tell you, she had one whopper of a husband because she came home after miscarriage number 5 to find out that he hadn't worked on his job for the last 30 days. And I was just kind of wondering, you know, back and forth, why she felt so strongly, why she really wanted to have a baby with this particular individual. Again, was I judging? Possibly. I'm a human being. I don't say I don't judge, because that's a lie. Everybody judges.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm questioning her. And she said, well, I didn't believe in abortion. She said, and I believed in the sanctity of marriage, and I wanted to have a child. And she told me, you know, things, how she was rotting. She could smell herself rotting inside, and how she had miscarried in the toilet, and how she, her psyche was so to the point where she would call the hospital and asked them if they needed a wet nurse because she was gorging. She had so much milk in her breast that she wanted to be of service. And I just could imagine in her mind just what she was going through. Well, honey, let me tell you about this queen. I've been following her, and she has just opened up a doula clinic for women that have had miscarriages and have a problem conceiving in one of the most prestigious parts of California.
Wow.
And gotten a certification. So again, what her tragedy has turned to triumph. And now she will not just be the mother of those 9. And that's her name, Hassana 9. You can look her up on my show. And not only is she that for them, but she is that for women of the world. So you have done something equally as powerful. You have created these journals and been a part of the anthology. Tell me a little bit about the book and what's inside the pages of these great books.
So
Now, the, I want to see them too. I want to see them.
Oh.
This one is newly released, Brains. Look at that.
No, that one's the released one.
Okay.
this one released in February. This one was October. Wow. So there's a little bit of both in each. So the first one, it's more about overall love. So there's all different, it mostly to families, so in my one I wrote to my two boys. The other ones are, you know, very family oriented type of letters, and to self. There's a few that are written to their past self. In this one, it was more what it's called, letters of love, inspiration, gratitude, and hope. And in this one, we wanted to do that. So we wanted to inspire people, give gratitude to the people that we love, and to give hope as well. So that was my letter. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to give gratitude to my child, because my stillborn daughter, because I wrote to her as well, and with the mothers, I wanted to inspire them. I wanted to give them hope that there is hope for them, even if they aren't able to have a child, there still is hope. And
there's hope, and there's love. You are still loved. Mm-hmm. You know, look at Oprah Winfrey. She never had kids. She had a child. I don't know if she lost her child or did she gave for adoption. Don't quote me on either one of those, Brains. I'm not sure. But I know that she has opened up the school in Africa, and she is a mother to many. She's got a gazillion godchildren. So just because it did not come through the birth canal or cesarean section, you know, there are women that are going through in vitro, and they say that in vitro is intense too.
Mm-hmm.
There are surrogates, which have been a blessing to many that carry, my girlfriend, she's going to be on the show, actually. She works for a company that finds surrogates for parents. You know, there's a lot of couples that really want to do that. But on the flip side, there are people that have had children and not been able to be a parent.
Yes.
It's a lot of work. It is an ongoing process. They don't go away at 18, Brains. Mine just moved out at 34. She had to come back for COVID. They never go away, but you don't want them to go away.
No.
The relationship that you build with them, it's the honesty that you speak to them. It's the integrity that you pour into them. It's the love. It's the nurturing. So, you know, when your two boys find the woman of their dreams, they will have a certain compassion. They will understand and see what their mother went through. They will love them through the circumstance. You've got an amazing husband. Tell him I sent him high five. You know, really, because he worked with you. There's a lot of times when a woman goes through something, a man goes, look, okay, I have had enough, you know, and my emotions can't take it. I need to do something else. They walk away. They walk away. They don't know how to, handle it. They don't know because they don't have to.
It's so true. It is.
Don't have to do with it, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly right. Exactly right.
You are an amazing, amazing woman. Hold those books up for my Brains one more time, so that they can get a look at that and see what is going on. Now, both of those have a complimentary journal that go along with them.
Yes. Okay. So I've done this one is, well, they're both recent, actually. I did them pretty much at the same time. So there's My Love Journal and Journal of Love.
And so are these blank pages inside these journals, or are there to start to spark a conversation, or is it like a workbook? Tell me a little bit about how it flows.
Yeah, so in each page, it's fairly basic, but they've just got a quote of love on each page, well, on each, you know, each sort of page, I guess. Right. The other one is basically like on every second page, we've got my inspirations, my goals. I don't know if you can say that, and my hopes and dreams. So they're different, but very similar as well.
Well, I love a journal. You know, I haven't been journaling as much as I should. I'm telling you, I probably get a hand cramp because I got a lot of stuff to write. But writing and is very cathartic. Mm-hmm. It's very important, you know, because you can look back and you can reflect on, I was at this point, but look at where I am today. And look at you. Yes. You are here on the edge with me talking about it. So you have made great strides. Please tell my brains how to get in contact with you if they're looking to purchase a copy of the book, if they're looking to join your Facebook page or one of your groups. In addition to that, even get published.
Yeah. So if you want to contact me through my website, it's melissadevo.com. I do have a Facebook group. It's called Empowering self-publishing for empowering authors, and yeah, I can help you publish your own book if you want to. Just send me a Facebook message. I'm on Facebook as well, Melissa Devo Facebook. I think it's Facebook.com/Melissa.Devo, something like that.
Well, we got you, honey. We're gonna have it all plastered all okay. over. They won't be able to miss you. They won't be able to miss
you. No. Yeah, well, yeah, they're probably the easiest ways to contact me anyway. So.
Okay. Well, you know what? You have contacted me in my heart. And I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, because it took a lot, not only for what you went through, but to be able to share that and to care enough to pay it forward, to help others, to carry them across that bridge safely across. So I honor you, and you are my shero, you know, and your daughter is your angel. Mm-hmm. You know, she's never far from you. Yeah. She's not just right there nudging you. She's hovering above you, okay? That's right. And your other children.
I get signs all the time.
That's right. And those other boys, and they're probably fighting.
They can't see each other today.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So thank you again for being here on the Edge. Brains, we talk about very sensitive, tender subjects because we want you to connect on an emotional level. We want you to gain some relationship capital. We want you to be involved. We want you to know that you're not alone, that we care about you. And so that's why I do what I do. And that's why Melissa does what she does. And I thank you again. Brains,
thank
go.
Thank you so much.
You know, go and check it out. We got some fun stuff too. Now everything's not all serious. We got comedians and jazz artists and chefs, all kind of crazy stuff. You know how I roll. All right. So thank you so much again for popping in. Go and subscribe to other Edgy Conversations. I'm on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I could sing it for you. You know where to find me. Bye, Melissa.
Bye, April. Thank you so much.
All right.